Thank you, Margaret. And so we continue in our series of parables of Jesus today and looking at the parable of the talents, obviously. And apologies to those online. There's a fair few of you online and we had issues with the internet connection earlier. Hopefully it's all working for you now. But let me pray for us as we come to this passage and this parable that Jesus told all those years ago. Well, Father, as we do come again to tackle this parable, as we come to discover more of what you have for us today in terms of revealing yourself to us ultimately. Again, Lord God, we pray that you'll give us ears to hear, eyes to see you at work in our lives and in the life of our church. Father God, we just again thank you for the privilege it is to come under your word, to worship you collectively here today. May we not lose sight of that and the importance of coming together in this way to worship, to edify, to encourage, and ultimately to glorify your name. As that song was sung earlier, we know that as we sing those prayers, it may resonate from this place here today, not only in this space here, but out with our kids as well as they learn more about you. Father, ultimately, our heart's desire is to go deeper with you in this moment now. So I pray you'd anoint my tongue, the words that I have to say, and ultimately, may you bless this time for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there's an age-old question that children in particular come to ask of their parents. And when it comes to doing their homework or doing their chores, and the question is, does it really matter? Does it really matter, Mum and Dad? Does it really matter if I have an untidy room or the bins don't get taken out? Does it really matter? Those who are parents here today, how many times have you heard that from your children over the years? Does it really matter? Yes, a few times. And we're getting to that point with our children, particularly Malachi, where he's just like, oh, Dad, does it really matter? But when I was young, I had obviously got a sister, and there was a particular time when my sister was struggling with her homework in particular, particularly her maths. And much to my mum's dismay, in order, I guess, to encourage my sister not to worry too much, my dad said to her, oh, don't worry, Ains. I didn't use maths at all when I went into the workforce. Don't worry at all. Worry about it at all. And then to the point where then my sister, when she continued to struggle and my mum was trying to help her, she would say, oh, Mum, it doesn't really matter. Dad doesn't use it. I'm not going to use it either. And so this is what we do. We ask this question, does it really matter? But it's actually a really powerful and loaded question because I guess the answer to that question depends on what you and I believe to be true and important in our lives. Does it really matter if I don't come to church on Sunday to worship with the wider church? Does it really matter if I don't serve within the life of the church? Does it matter if I don't use my spiritual gifts that God has given me to serve the wider body? Ultimately, does it really matter how I live my life today? Well, I think the answer to that question is answered emphatically by Jesus throughout his ministry among us, particularly in this parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 and 30. A parable that Jesus taught, again, that we're going to focus on here today as we continue this series, the parables of Jesus. And as we looked at last week, Jesus used this important teaching technique and device in order to explain key aspects of the kingdom of God. He would use vivid, memorable scenes from everyday life in order to teach profound spiritual truths. And whilst most rabbis or teachers use this teaching technique, parables, none use it as effectively or as regularly as Jesus did. And this one, the parable of the talents, it actually fits into a wider section of parables that Jesus told and taught his disciples in response to their question in Matthew 24:3, where they say, tell us, Master, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And if you read through Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives a whole section of teaching about what we can expect when the kingdom of God is ushered in upon his return. And he unpacks it more by telling these three parables. Three parables. The first one, the parable of the virgins, where he starts by saying, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And then he moves into this parable, the parable of the talents. Verse 14 again, he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold or talents, to another, 2 talents, and another one each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So one man receives 5 talents, another man 2 talents, another man 1 talent, each according to their ability. We'll come back to the importance of that statement in just a moment. But a talent back in those days was the equivalent of $1,000. So it's like giving one man $5,000, another man $2,000, and another man $1,000. As we read, the first man doubles his investment. The second one also doubles his investment. And to which the master returns and responds by saying, good work, you have done well. Both of you can be my partners. The last, however, in fear of losing the master's money and subsequently disappointing him, he didn't do anything with the money he was given. He sat on it. He took no risk. Instead, he kept it until the master's return, and that was met with a sharp rebuke, to the point where this man is called a lazy and wicked servant. So again, we come back to that question, well, does it really matter? So what? He didn't lose the master's money. It's not like he lost it all and didn't have anything to come back with. The answer to this question, I believe, does it really matter that this man did this, lies in how I believe God has actually created us. Because believe it or not, you and I have been created uniquely, amen? Each with unique gifts and abilities, skills and spiritual gifts. And again, when we become Christians, when we accept Jesus into our lives, that is when we receive these spiritual gifts from God. When we receive the Holy Spirit, what comes with the Holy Spirit is spiritual gifts that should ultimately be used to further Christ's kingdom in this world. Ephesians 4:4-12, Paul writes this, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Again, it's God that gives us these gifts. In verse 11, it goes on to say, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become a mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So you and I, if you put your hand up to follow Jesus, you have been blessed with a spiritual gift that we ought to use to further Christ's kingdom. Amen. Some of you realize this, some of us don't. But what Paul is saying here is that, yes, there are pastors, there are evangelists, there are prophets that are, their responsibility is to equip the church, to understand this so that they may together build one another up in faith, so that we go deeper in the knowledge of the Son, ultimately attaining unity and, I would say, fruitfulness. Amen. We have all been ultimately shaped to serve. And I find this a helpful acronym that I want to share again here today. This word shape, we have been shaped to serve. First of all, S, we've been shaped with spiritual gifts, as we've been talking about. And there's a whole list of spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. A list of about 22 spiritual gifts that God or the Holy Spirit bestows upon God's people. ultimately that we may serve the body, the church, and further Christ's kingdom in this world. Gifts of knowledge, gifts of prophecy, people that can speak on God's behalf to God's people. Gifts of hospitality. Now, there's people that just love having people around and loving the body in this way. Gifts of tongues. Gifts of a whole range of things. And again, if you do not know what your spiritual gifts are, then I want to encourage you to discover and learn more about that here today. Up the back, we have some resources for you to take home. And there's an assessment that you can do, which basically gives you an understanding of what you are gifted in or what God has gifted you in. And then our responsibility is then to discover this, to learn this, so that we can then serve the body or understand where God wants to utilize these spiritual gifts in terms of the church, but also in furthering his kingdom in this world. So again, up the back, there's a couple of assessment there and another handout that explains some of the spiritual gifts and what they are. But I implore us to discover what our spiritual gifts are. H stands for heart. This is key to Jesus' teaching. Every single one of us have received a heart from God. And we're not just talking about a physical heart, but a spiritual heart. That which makes us us. As he says, everything that comes out of us comes from the heart. Abilities. We've all been given special abilities. Amen. You know, some of us are great at finance. Our great treasurer, Lance, for example. Wouldn't put my hand up to be a treasurer because I don't have the ability to do finance like that. Some of us are great at building, painting. We saw some examples of that here today. Sport. Each and every one of us have been made up with special and unique abilities that make us us. P stands for personality. Do you realize that there's no one else in this place here today that has the same personality as you? Amen. There's a special saying that says, be you, everyone else is taken. I want to encourage us to understand how God has wired us. He's made us a certain way with a certain personality, and finally, experiences. The experiences that you and I have had in life are unique to us. Amen. Again, all of this is, I guess, combined to give us the ability to serve Christ in this world. And again, it comes back to understanding what God has, or how God has wired us. But ultimately, all of this is about amplifying and glorifying Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what Paul says in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 1:31, he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Understand how he has wired you. Understand and learn how he has gifted you so you can glorify his name. Amen. You can amplify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in many ways the point of this parable. God has equipped each and every one of us with different skills, abilities that he desires us to invest in God's kingdom. Amen? Do we believe it? To invest in order to further build his kingdom and multiply his kingdom, as we spoke a couple of weeks ago. Again, if we are to grow to become a fruitful church here as part of our vision for this year, then we need everyone chipping in. Amen? We need everyone serving one another. And that means, again, taking the effort to understand what God has gifted you with, how you've been wired, so that you can serve one another in this place. If we are to grow to become a fruitful church, we need everyone chipping in, using their skills, gifts, and abilities to serve the church and the wider kingdom. This is what the master of the parable is expecting his servants to do. Two did, but one didn't, and he suffered the consequences, the wrath of the master. But the sad reality is we live in a world where people sit on their talents and gifts, don't they? People sit on it like they sit on their hands and do nothing with them. That's the sad reality. I mean, imagine if a man by the name of John Newton sat on his musical talents. Then we wouldn't have such incredible hymns as Amazing Grace. Imagine if C.S. Lewis didn't write or chose not to write. We We wouldn't have such profound theological understanding, but we would also not have such great novels as the Chronicles of Narnia. Or if Mother Teresa didn't devote her life to the service of care and care of the poor. Unfortunately, many probably would have died of starvation and malnutrition, but we also wouldn't have such a great example of love and service. Amen. If such people didn't invest their talents and skills and abilities, then we wouldn't enjoy the benefits of them doing so here today. Things that have brought so much joy and understanding to so many different people, but also skills and abilities that have been utilized to bless and to build Christ's church. But for every person that has invested their talents, skills, and abilities, once again, there are people, even in our churches, not just this church, but everywhere, that just sit on their skills and abilities, do nothing with them, as the man in the parable did. And we see the consequence of doing that. So it's up to us to discover again what God has gifted us in, what he has blessed us with, how he has wired us, and how we can ultimately invest, but also use these skills and abilities to further the kingdom of God. And again, for me, this is what it comes down to. Taking a risk. Built into this idea of stewardship, which is what these parables are all about, faithful steward, in particular being faithful stewards over our gifts and our abilities, wired into this is risk taking, isn't there? Calculated, wise risk taking. This is what we see in the parable. Because investing in the kingdom of God, it requires risk. This is what these two men did. The two that were applauded, that were commended, they took the risk. They invested the talents and they saw and reaped the fruit and the rewards of doing so. Built into these stewardship parables, again, is taking risk. You and I need to take risk when it comes to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Even the smallest amount of risk, the smallest amount of faithfulness is rewarded in the kingdom of God. And sometimes that doesn't always mean stepping out to plant a new church or to start a new ministry. They are examples of risk. But I believe sometimes that when it comes to taking risks, sometimes you and I just need to put our hands up and say, I'm going to give it a crack, amen? I'm going to step out in faith and give this thing a crack. Because I believe that God has wired me a certain way. And I believe he is calling me to serve in a certain ministry in the life of this church. And sometimes what holds us back is our thought process that, oh, I'm not good enough to do this. I'm not capable to serve in this ministry. Or I just don't have the time to invest. Sometimes taking the risk is putting our hands up and just saying, I'm going to take a step of faith here. I'm going to ask my boss, take a risk and say, can I have an hour off in a week to serve, to mentor a kid in Kids Hope. Sometimes taking the risk is putting your hand up and just saying, I'm going to give it a crack and I'm going to serve in kids ministry. I'm going to serve in mainly music or youth ministry or men's and women's or whatever the case may be. I'm going to put my hand up, take a risk and say, yeah, I'll have a small group in my home. I don't want to lead it, but I'm happy to facilitate an environment where people feel comfortable to come and to learn more about the kingdom of God, to go deeper in community together. This is sometimes what it means in terms of taking a risk, taking a step of faith. For whatever it is, investing our talents, skills, and giftings into furthering the kingdom of God is what it is all about. An encouraging story of someone who did that is someone who sat in this very church a couple of years ago. And they were just visiting his wife's mother had passed away, and they were going to ask me to do the funeral on this particular day. And they came to visit, and the topic that we were talking on that particular Sunday was one similar to what we're talking about here today, our work and how we invest our skills, abilities, and talents into furthering the kingdom of God. And he sat there as we spoke about this, and at the end of the service came to me in tears because he was feeling, well, basically not content in his workplace. He was previously in ministry, now moved into the graphic designer industry. He just didn't feel like he was utilizing what God had given him to further the kingdom of God. And he just broke down in tears in front of me because his heart was to use what God had given him to serve him. You know what? The risk for this man was resigning from his work and looking for a new work where he believed he could utilize what God has given him to further the kingdom of God. And he now works as a chaplain in an aged care facility. But this is an example of someone taking the risk because their desire is to invest what God has given them to further the kingdom of God. So where is it in your life that God may be calling you to take a risk? Where is it in your life that God may be calling you to trust him? Maybe it's not as big as resigning from your job and finding another workplace. But somewhere in your life and mine, God is calling us to trust him, amen? To depend upon him so that he can use you and I. Not for our glory, but for his glory. What gifts and abilities has he given you to serve him and his church? Again, I implore you to discover what it is that God has equipped you with. What God has blessed you and I with. What opportunities have you been given to be a steward over? Don't waste the opportunities that God has given us. Amen. Whether that might be being a parent, a mum or a dad, that's an opportunity that God has given you. A business. You may be a steward over a business. You may be high up there. You may be the owner. You may be the operator. God has given you that opportunity to oversee that business. Don't waste that opportunity. Maybe it's the people that you're in charge of. That's who you are to be a faithful steward over. Whatever the case may be, the reality of this passage and this parable, as we see, is that Jesus, or God, this master, he gives to us each according to our ability. Amen. He's not going to give you become a steward over a business that you don't have the capability to fulfill or to oversee. He's not going to leave us out to dry, is he? He gives us faithfully according to what we have the ability to do in our lives. And again, in this parable, those who took the risk, those who invested their talents, they were greatly rewarded. And the beautiful thing about this story is that when we prove ourselves faithful with little, God will give us more. Amen. When we prove ourselves faithful with little, he will give us much more to be a steward over. And I found this true in my own life. And when I just finished Bible college, I was stepping into a new role. Our church at the time was going through a transition. And I got asked to fill this particular role at my church. And in many ways, some would look at that this role I was offered as a bit of a slap in the face. That's how I saw it. Because previously, I'd served in youth and young adults ministry. That is what, I guess, was the catalyst for me wanting to enter into full-time ministry. And I got given this or offered this role, and I thought, you know, I was looking for something a little bit more, a little bit extra, I guess, so that I could grow and to mature as a pastor, as an up-and-coming pastor. But God was doing a work of humility in my life in that moment. And I knew that I just had to prove myself faithful with this role for doors to open in other areas. And it wasn't just about proving myself faithful to God, but also my boss who offered me this role. And so I put my pride to one side and I said, you know what, I'll do this role, I'll do it well, and I'll show myself faithful, not just only to my boss, but to God. And I did that. So much so that this became true in my life. God opened doors for opportunities that I never thought possible. Standing right here, I never thought this would be possible. But God opens doors. As we prove ourselves faithful with little, Jesus will give us more. Amen. All he's looking for is a heart to serve him, to use those gifts, those abilities that which we have been shaped with to further his kingdom. We have been given much. The question here before each and every one of us here today is, how will I invest these gifts and these abilities today? How will I invest these gifts and abilities today so that when he returns, I will not end up like that unfaithful servant who wasted the master's talents? No, I took a risk and I was found faithful. What can I do with what I have been given in order to further glorify our God? 1 Peter 4:10 to 11 says this, each of you should use what gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do with the strength God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's ultimately the purpose of all this. Amen. So when it comes back to that question, does it really matter? Does it really matter how I live my life today? The answer is an emphatic no. No, it's yes, of course. Just testing your listening. 100%, it's yes. It does matter how you and I live our lives today. Amen? And I implore you guys, once again, I implore myself to first of all learn and discover how God has shaped you. Again, there's some resources up there. If that is your desire, if you want to understand, I'm going to do one myself to discover again if what I feel I'm gifted in is actually still the case. Take an assessment. Look at those inventories. Look into how God wires us uniquely. Understand how he has shaped you. Spend time then listening to him as to what he is calling each and every one of us to do. It'll be unique to our unique situation. Amen. Learn and understand where he is calling you. And then the tricky part is the step of faith, is the risk taking. But again, be reminded that God will never call you to do something that you do not have the capacity or the capabilities to do. Amen. Each of them received what they got according to their own abilities. Take a risk, take a step of faith, and then serve him faithfully and diligently until he returns. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we reflect on this parable, as we reflect on what you are calling each and every one of us here to do here today. Sometimes it can be confronting to hear your words, but sometimes the truth is confronting. But Father, we know, Lord God, that you only desire what's best for us. And you know, Lord God, what will make us tick. You know the heart that you've given us. You know the personality that you've given us. You know how you have wired us and gifted us. And Father God, as we come now to reflect on all of these things, we pray that you would again lead us and guide us in the direction of your Son, Jesus, the ultimate model of faith and, I would argue, risk-taking. So Lord, thank you again that you have wired us so uniquely. Thank you that you have gifted us with gifts and abilities ultimately to be used to further your kingdom. Help us, Lord, not to waste these opportunities, not to waste our talents, not to waste our gifts, but use them once again to further your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.